RadioArchives.com presents Give 'em Hell, An Adventure of Dan Fowler by C.K.M. Scanlon, read by Milton Bagby. In the days of J. Edgar Hoover's Untouchables, one lawman took on the super criminals even Elliot Ness couldn't touch. Dan Fowler, G-Man. The greatest FBI special agent of his generation, Fowler operated nationwide, hunting down spies, kidnappers, counterfeiters, murderers, and other dire threats to law and order beyond the jurisdiction of local authorities. Assisted by the youthful agent Larry Kendall and brave Sally Vane, Dan Fowler crushed crime with an infallible combination of scientific criminology and punishing Tommy gun lead. And now, Dan Fowler's thrilling adventure, Give 'em Hell. Chapter 1. Good Town. Night. A radio voice droning in the headlight-pierced blackness.
Calling all cars. Scarelli and Corfan in dark gray limousine reported heading northeast. Last seen on Highway 14 just above Keysville. The car's license is 53G126. Both men are armed and desperate. Be careful. That is all.
Special Agent Canning's mouth thinned out until it was hardly more than a scarlet line across his face. We're hot, Chuck. Speed it up and we'll have 'em.
Foot's on the floorboard now,
his companion answered, not moving his wide blue eyes from the road that rushed at him through the windshield. The quivering speedometer needle flickered around the 83-mile mark, dropped slightly as, with a great shrieking of brakes, the government car negotiated a sharp curve, then climbed steadily up again. A wintry wind knifed the air, cut through the agent's clothes, and tore icily at their bones, but their foreheads were dotted with tiny beads of sweat. They knew the two men they were after, knew their records and reputations. Wanted by the police of three states, wanted by Uncle Sam on charges ranging from felonious assault on government operatives to kidnapping and murder. Their trail across the country was marked with blood and violence. They were fleeing for their lives, wild beasts running to cover, with the law's merciless grim-eyed pack in full cry behind them.
They're getting ready to hole up somewhere, Canning grated.
What makes you think so?
When you've been on this manhunt job as long as I have, Junior, you get to be able to read the signs. Take it from me, those rats have a nest around here someplace.
They'll lead us right to it. Maybe we'll catch.
Lead is what we'll more likely catch, Canning announced flatly.
Silence fell between them as the car rocketed on through the December night. They were whizzing over flatter terrain now as they debouched upon the great plain, mountain girt, that stretched for miles ahead. The road straightened out, and Chuck Gilman took a freckled hand from the steering wheel to grab Canning's arm. Canning nodded. His eyes grew bleak, dangerous, as they stared at the moving red light a mile or so ahead.
"We're closing in," he said. "Watch it. They're slowing down for just one reason."
Chuck nodded wordlessly. His mouth was too dry for speech. That cold hand twisting in the pit of his belly wasn't fear, but the cramping nervous tension that soldiers felt just before clambering out of the muddy trenches in the face of enemy fire. The red light grew ever larger. Central City, 10 miles. The signpost slashed by and vanished behind them.
"Central City," Canning muttered. "So that's..."
The car ahead suddenly slewed around, rocked to a halt halfway across the road. Chuck Gilman grabbed the handbrake, jerked madly at the steering wheel. Tommy gun fire screamed a rattling song, belching like hell's hot breath from the fugitive's car. Bullets bit out a row of blackened holes along the hood. Canning ducked instinctively, trained his own gun on the car ahead, began to fire. The government car, caught in a half spin that Gilman couldn't steady, rocked and pitched and twisted.